Welcome to the podcast, Move Forth with Grace. We will be reading the whole Bible in the year 2024. This is such a perfect way to get into God's Word each day and to develop your own relationship with God our Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. I am your host, Angela, and want to first of all say that I am not an expert in theology or church history or a minister, and I never will claim to be. I am a wife and mother who has been reborn and want to be of service to God in gratitude for calling me back home. Welcome to the podcast. The Bible that I will be reading from is the One-Year Bible. It is a New Living Translation, and you can find one at www.tyndale.com. This episode is brought to you by the Move Forth brand. It encompasses freedom, health, and God's grace. We are created in God's image perfectly and fearfully and wonderfully. There is nothing that we can do or need to do to earn His grace. He simply gives it to us. I am certified in health and life coaching, but no longer practice. However, I have health tips and resources, products that I love and use, homeschool tips, and merchandise available on my website, and that is www.move-forth.com. One of my favorite products on my website and that I use each day are stem cell activation patches. Stem cell therapy can be very costly and can produce results that are short-lived, which is why these patches are so brilliant and they're not considered to be stem cell therapy. They actually activate our own body's production of stem cells and support our health and well-being, all while optimizing our immune system. You can check those out on my website as well, www.move-forth.com. Thank you for being here. Thank you for becoming less like you and more like Jesus. May you move forth with grace today. All right. Well, today is day 110, and we will be reading Joshua 21, 1 through 22, 20, Luke 20, 1 through 26, Psalm 89, 1 through 13, and Proverbs 13, 15 through 16. Let's go ahead and begin with our prayer today. Father, we just thank you for yet another day that we get to be in your presence, in your word. We pray for your guidance, and we thank you for your protection over us each and every day. We say this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua 21:1 through 22:20. Then the leaders of the tribe of Levi came to consult with Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and the leaders of the other tribes of Israel. They came to them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan and said, "The Lord commanded Moses to give us towns to live in and pasture lands for our livestock." So by the command of the Lord, the people of Israel gave the Levites the following towns and pasture lands out of their own grants of land. The descendants of Aaron, who were members of the Kohathite clan within the tribe of Levi, were allotted 13 towns that were originally assigned to the tribes of Judah, Simeon, and Benjamin. The other families of the Kohathite clan were allotted 10 towns from the tribes of Ephraim, Dan, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. The clan of Gershon was allotted 13 towns from the tribes of Issachar, Asher, Naphtali, and the half-tribe of Manasseh in Bashan. The clan of Merari was allotted 12 towns from the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and Zebulun. So the Israelites obeyed the Lord's command to Moses and assigned these towns and pasture lands to the Levites by casting sacred lots. The Israelites gave the following towns from the tribes of Judah and Simeon to the descendants of Aaron, who were members of the Kohathite clan within the tribe of Levi, since the sacred lot fell to them first: Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah, along with its surrounding pasture lands. Arba was an ancestor of Anak. But the open fields beyond the town and the surrounding villages were given to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, as his possession. The following towns with their pasture lands were given to the descendants of Aaron the priest: Hebron, a city of refuge for those who accidentally killed someone; Libna, Jatir, Eshtoma, Holon, Debir, Ayin, Jutta, and Beth Shemesh, 9 towns from these two tribes. From the tribe of Benjamin, the priests were given the following towns with their pasture lands: Gibeon, Geba, Anathoth, and Almon, 4 towns. So in all, 13 towns with their pasture lands were given to the priests, the descendants of Aaron. The rest of the Kohathite clan from the tribe of Levi was allotted the following towns and pasture lands from the tribe of Ephraim: Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim, a city of refuge for those who accidentally killed someone; Gezer, Kibzaim, and Bethhoron, 4 towns. The following towns and pasture lands were allotted to the priests from the tribe of Dan: Eltika, Gibbethon, Ajalon, and Gath-Rimmon, 4 towns. The half-tribe of Manasseh allotted the following towns with their pasture lands to the priests: Taanach and Gath-Rimmon, two towns. So in all, 10 towns with their pasture lands were given to the rest of the Kohathite clan. The descendants of Gershon, another clan within the tribe of Levi, received the following towns with their pasture lands from the half-tribe of Manasseh: Golan and Bashan, a city of refuge for those who accidentally killed someone, and Be'esjera, two towns. From the tribe of Issachar, they received the following towns with their pasture lands: Kishion, Debarath, Jarmuth, and Enganim, four towns. From the tribe of Asher, they received the following towns with their pasture lands: Mishal, Abdon, Helkath, and Rehob, four towns. From the tribe of Naphtali, they received the following towns with their pasture lands: Kadesh and Galilee, a city of refuge for those who accidentally killed someone, Hamath Dor, and Kartan, three towns. So in all, 13 towns with their pasture lands were allotted to the clan of Gershon. The rest of the Levites, the Merari clan, were given the following towns with their pasture lands from the tribe of Zebulun: Jokneam, Karta, Dimna, and Nahalal, four towns. From the tribe of Reuben, they received the following towns with their pasture lands: Bezer, Jahaz, Kedemoth, and Mephath, four towns. From the tribe of Gad, they received the following towns with their pasture lands: Ramoth and Gilead, a city of refuge for those who accidentally killed someone, Manahem, Heshbon, and Jazer, four towns. So in all, 12 towns were allotted to the clan of Merari. The total number of towns and pasture lands within Israelite territory given to the Levites came to 48. Every one of these towns had pasture lands surrounding it. So the Lord gave to Israel all the land he had sworn to give their ancestors, and they took possession of it and settled there. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had solemnly promised their ancestors. None of their enemies could stand against them, for the Lord helped them conquer all their enemies. Not a single one of all the good promises the Lord had given to the family of Israel was left unfulfilled. Everything he had spoken came true. Then Joshua called together the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. He told them, "You have done as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and you have obeyed every order I have given you. During all this time, you have not deserted the other tribes. You have been careful to obey the commands of the Lord your God right up to the present day. And now the Lord your God has given the other tribes rest, as he promised them. So go back home to the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you as a possession on the east side of the Jordan River. But be very careful to obey all the commands and the instructions that Moses gave to you. Love the Lord your God, walk in all his ways, obey his commands, hold firmly to him, and serve him with all your heart and all your soul." So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went home. Moses had given the land of Bashan, east of the Jordan River, to the half-tribe of Manasseh. The other half of the tribe was given land west of the Jordan. As Joshua sent them away and blessed them, he said to them, "Go back to your homes with the great wealth you have taken from your enemies, the vast herds of livestock, the silver, gold, bronze, and iron, and the large supply of clothing. Share the plunder with your relatives." So the men of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh left the rest of Israel at Shiloh in the land of Canaan. They started the journey back to their own land of Gilead, the territory that belonged to them, according to the Lord's command through Moses. But while they were still in Canaan, and when they came to a place called Gilaloth, near the Jordan River, the men of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh stopped to build a large and imposing altar. The rest of Israel heard that the people of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh had built an altar at Gilaloth, at the edge of the land of Canaan, on the west side of the Jordan River. So the whole community of Israel gathered at Shiloh and prepared to go to war against them. First, however, they sent a delegation led by Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the priest, to talk with the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. In this delegation were 10 leaders of Israel, one from each of the 10 tribes, and each head of his family within the clans of Israel. When they arrived in the land of Gilead, they said to the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, "The whole community of the Lord demands to know why you are betraying the God of Israel. How could you turn away from the Lord and build an altar for yourselves in rebellion against him? Was our sin at Peor not enough? To this day, we are not fully cleansed of it. even after the plague that struck the entire community of the Lord. And yet today you are turning away from following the Lord. If you rebel against the Lord today, he will be angry with all of us tomorrow. If you need the altar because the land you possess is defiled, then join us in the Lord's land where the tabernacle of the Lord is situated and share our land with us. But do not rebel against the Lord or against us by building an altar other than the one true altar of the Lord our God. Didn't divine anger fall on the entire community of Israel when Achan, a member of the clan of Zerah, sinned by stealing the things set apart for the Lord? He was not the only one who died because of his sin. Luke 20:1-26. One day, as Jesus was teaching the people and preaching the good news in the temple, the leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the elders came up to him. They demanded, "By what authority are you doing all these things? Who gave you the right?" "Let me ask you a question first," he replied. "Did John's authority to baptize come from heaven, or was it merely human?" They talked it over among themselves. "If we say it was from heaven, he will ask why we didn't believe John. But if we say it was merely human, the people will stone us because they are convinced John was a prophet." So they finally replied that they didn't know. And Jesus responded, "Then I won't tell you by what authority I do these things." Now, Jesus turned to the people again and told them this story. A man planted a vineyard, leased it to tenant farmers, and moved to another country to live for several years. At the time of the grape harvest, he sent one of his servants to collect his share of the crop. But the farmers attacked the servant, beat him up, and sent him back empty-handed. So the owner sent another servant, but they also insulted him, beat him up, and sent him away empty-handed. A third man was sent, and they wounded him and chased him away. "What will I do?" the owner asked himself. "I know, I'll send my cherished son. Surely they will respect him." But when the tenant farmers saw his son, they said to each other, "Here comes the heir to this estate. Let's kill him and get the estate for ourselves." So they dragged him out of the vineyard and murdered him. "What do you suppose the owner of the vineyard will do to them?" Jesus asked. "I'll tell you, he will come and kill those farmers and leave the vineyard to others." "How terrible that such a thing should ever happen," his listeners protested. Jesus looked at them and said, "Then what does the scripture mean? The stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. Everyone who stumbles over that stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone it falls on." The teachers of religious law and the leading priests wanted to arrest Jesus immediately because they realized he was telling the story against them. They were the wicked farmers, but they were afraid of the people's reaction. Watching for their opportunity, the leaders sent spies pretending to be honest men. They tried to get Jesus to say something that could be reported to the Roman governor so he would arrest Jesus. "Teacher," they said, "we know that you speak and teach what is right and are not influenced by what others think. You teach the way of God truthfully. Now tell us, is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" He saw through their trickery and said, "Show me a Roman coin. Whose picture and title are stamped on it?" "Caesar's," they replied. "Well then," he said, "give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God." So they failed to trap him by what he said in front of the people. Instead, they were amazed by his answer, and they became silent. Psalm 89:1-13, a psalm of Ethan, the Ezrahite. I will sing of the Lord's unfailing love forever. Young and old will hear of your faithfulness. Your unfailing love will last forever. Your faithfulness is as enduring as the heavens. The Lord said, "I have made a covenant with David, my chosen servant. I have sworn this oath to him. I will establish your descendants as kings forever. They will sit on your throne from now until eternity. All heaven will praise your great wonders, Lord. Myriads of angels will praise you for your faithfulness. For who in all of heaven can compare with the Lord? What mightiest angel is anything like the Lord? The highest angelic powers stand in awe of God. He is far more awesome than all who surround his throne. O Lord, God of heaven's armies, where is there anyone as mighty as you, O Lord? You are entirely faithful. You rule the oceans. You subdue their storm-tossed waves. You crushed the great sea monster. You scattered your enemies with your mighty arm. The heavens are yours, and the earth is yours. Everything in the world is yours. You created it all. You created north and south, Mount Tabor and Mount Hermon praise your name. Powerful is your arm, strong is your hand. Your right hand is lifted high in glorious strength. Proverbs 13:15-16. A person with good sense is respected. A treacherous person is headed for destruction. Wise people think before they act. Fools don't, and even brag about their foolishness. And that concludes our reading time today. All right. Over in the companion today. In Joshua 22:1-12, why was a second altar built by the Jordan River? God had specifically commanded that there be only one central place for offering sacrifices. At this time, that place was on Mount Ebal. When the tribes of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh built an altar at the Jordan River, the rest of Israel feared that these tribes were starting their own religion and rebelling against God. But before beginning an all-out war, Phinehas led a delegation to learn the truth, following the principle taught in Deuteronomy. And that is in 13:12-19, that principle. He was prepared to negotiate rather than fight if a battle was not necessary. When he learned that the altar was for a memorial rather than for a pagan sacrifice, war was averted and unity restored. The erection of the altar was a tribute to the spiritual sensitivities of those who wanted to perpetuate the name and the worship of the one true God. Luke 20:9-19. What is the meaning of the parable in Luke 20:9-19? The characters in this story are easily identified. Even the religious leaders understood it. The owner of the vineyard is God. The vineyard is Israel. The tenants are the religious leaders. The servants are the prophets and priests God sent to Israel. The son is the Messiah, Jesus. And the others are the Gentiles. Jesus' parable indirectly answered the religious leaders' question about his authority. It also showed them that he knew about their plan to kill him. The parable was applied to the Jewish nation for its rejection of God's Messiah. Jesus warned of the dire consequences of this decision. Not only were they to be cast out, their inheritance was going to be given over to Gentiles who were offered the kingdom the Jews had rejected. Luke 20:17. What was Jesus' purpose in mentioning the stone which the builders rejected? Quoting Psalm 118:22, Jesus showed the unbelieving leaders that even their rejection of the Messiah had been prophesied in Scripture. Ignoring the capstone or cornerstone which represents the Messiah was dangerous. A person could be tripped or crushed, judged or punished. Although Jesus would be rejected by the Jews, he would become the cornerstone of a new building, the church. And we see that in Acts 4:11-12. The cornerstone in a building was used as a base to make sure the other stones of the building were straight and level. Likewise, Jesus' life and teaching would be the church's foundation or base. Jesus' comments were veiled, but the religious leaders had no trouble interpreting them. They immediately wanted to arrest him. All right, in our psalm today, the theme, Psalm 89, God's promise to preserve David's descendants. God's promise is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, who will reign for eternity. The love and kindness promised to David is ours in Christ. And the author is Ethan. He was a Levite leader and possibly one of the head musicians in the temple. We see him in 1 Chronicles 15:17-19. Or it could have been one of Ethan's descendants, the author. Okay, so let's take a closer look here at this psalm. We read just a portion of it today, so we'll be continuing through that over the next few days. And this psalm was written to describe the glorious reign of David. God had promised to make David the mightiest king on earth and to keep his descendants on the throne forever. We see this in 2 Samuel 7:8-16. But Jerusalem was destroyed, and kings no longer reigned there. So these verses can look forward prophetically to the future reign of Jesus Christ, David's descendant. Psalm 89:27 is a prophecy concerning David's never-ending dynasty, which will reach its fulfillment and highest expression in Christ's future reign over the world. And we can also refer to Revelation 22:5 for further confirmation of that. All right, let's go ahead and end with our prayer today. Father, thank you so very much for another day in your word where we can nourish our souls, where we can grow spiritually, and we can grow closer to you. We pray that we can continue to choose faith in you, even if we don't want to. And I say that because sometimes it's hard to keep choosing faith in you when we only focus on our own lives, our own circumstances, our own relationships here. Father, we just pray that we can have the strength and endurance to choose faith and trust in you no matter what comes our way, so that we can love through our hearts, that your love can come through our hearts to those that you have blessed us with in this life. We thank you so very much for sending Jesus, your only Son, to come and save each and every one of us from sin and death. And Jesus, we thank you for loving us so much that you were willing to lay down your life for us all so that we can have eternal life in heaven. Father, we thank you for your promises, your faithful promises that you promise to us, that you keep. And we just pray that they can be reminders of your protection and love over us all. We say this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that concludes our episode for today. Thank you so much for being here and joining in today. I look forward to being with you in the next episode. Take care.